NBA podcaster has launched a new Day in the Life series. We're traveling to business schools across the country and around the world to shadow current students, meet with deans, admissions directors, and others to bring you an in-depth perspective of life on campus. Schools include UCLA Anderson, Wharton, University of Chicago, INSEAD, and many others. Visit our website at mbapodcaster.com to listen to any of our Day in the Life shows and see pictures and videos from campus. This month, we bring you RSM Erasmus.
Hello, my name is Rob Madore.
Yeah, the food wasn't really there.
It's got quite an alternative culture, Rotterdam.
This is the really fun part of what we do. We want to know what makes you tick.
Historically, we have always been at the forefront of international programming.
I'm Janet Nakano for NBA Podcaster, and this is A Day in the Life at RSM. It's Monday morning at RSM Erasmus University, and it's quiet.
It is quiet. It's like a morgue downstairs at the moment. It's not often like that.
That's marketing manager David Francis.
But they're just obviously occupied elsewhere at the moment.
No, the students aren't on holiday. Today and all morning, they've been tucked away in small study rooms, preparing for a consulting simulation called the Living Management Project.
Today is definitely not a usual day.
That's Rob Madore, a full-time MBA student from Boston.
So today I was up at, I believe, 6:30, which is definitely not usual, and I don't recommend it. I was doing some extra work for my group. I rode my new bicycle to school. Today I left my house at around 9 o'clock. I got to school just before 9:30, and this is going to be going on until Friday when we present our presentation to the company representatives.
So on a normal Monday morning, students are being students, attending classes, talking with classmates, and simply hanging around.
Classes run from 9:30 to 12:30, and you have an hour break, and then 1:30 to 4:30. And then lunchtime tends to be not much time actually devoted to lunch. There's all kinds of meetings that people have to do. People catch an extra little bit of reading that they didn't get to do for that second class. So it's quite busy from once you arrived until 4:30. And then in the afternoon, there are often group meetings or all kinds of school activities that are going on.
RSM Erasmus is in the modern city of Rotterdam, just south of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Rotterdam is the second largest city in this small European nation, and it's a quick one-hour train ride from Amsterdam Airport. Again, David Francis.
Rotterdam is a new city. It's a city that's really only been completely rebuilt since the 1940s. As a result, it's got quite an alternative culture, Rotterdam. There's a lot of definite sort of cultural scenes that you don't really experience in Amsterdam. It has very vibrant nightlife, but it also has big populations from other countries, which makes it, you know, very multicultural city. You'll see from walking around, it's extremely multicultural. So it's a very comfortable place to come and live. It's very much geared up towards foreigners. It's a very easy place to live. I don't think you have to necessarily really get involved in Dutch culture to appreciate Rotterdam, but there is, you know, quite a lot of subculture with different groups, perhaps a little bit alternative, that's here if you want that.
RSM's MBA programs are housed in a tallish modern building located on the corner of the Erasmus University campus. There's student housing close by, but like Rob, many also live in the downtown area.
So when I walk out my front door, there are restaurants on either side of my front door, there are bars and supermarkets within walking distance. Compared to the United States, I think the Netherlands is slightly inconvenient for the hours that stores and shops are open. So, for example, some of my peers close to school, nothing is open on Saturdays. After 5 or 6 o'clock at night, most things are closed. So living downtown, you know, right in the heart of the city, is quite convenient. But living out people that live out here by the university, it's quite a nice area. There are lakes and bike paths everywhere across the city, so it's a bit more relaxed. And getting in town on your bicycle is maybe 10 minutes, by tram 15. So it's not that the university is located in the suburbs, for example. What we're doing now is this project is the culmination of the first and second term. It's called the Living Management Project, and in which real companies present real business problems, a business challenge to student groups that have already been formed. So this group has been together all term, and this is a group chosen by school to combine, you know, diverse elements, backgrounds, and things. So this has been done very intentionally.
Inside a small conference room, Rob is meeting with his team of all different nationalities.
My name is Sophia. I'm from Taiwan. I'm glad to be in this great team. We are team B4.
My name is Moussa Gastine. I'm from Lebanon and also a member of group B4.
Hi, I'm Volker Steinde. I'm from Germany.
Hi, I'm Mahavir Gorti. I'm from India.
So let's just get back to, are we still working?
It's a busy morning for Rob, so we'll catch up with him a little later. RSM offers an international full-time MBA degree in 15 months. The program is divided into four terms that begins in October and includes a summer internship. Louisa Verforn is Senior Marketing and Admissions Manager. She says students begin searching for internships very early on.
Even before they arrive in Rotterdam, they submit their CVs. They start immediately working on their CVs and then working with career development, trying to decide what it is, first of all, that they want to get out of the internship and then which area they want to do it. The career development staff, they won't find the internships for the students, but they will facilitate the process. They will support their search in terms of putting them in contact with recruiters. They'll organize workshops and interviewing skills and negotiation skills and all that. So the internships, the associateships are very diverse. Some students take the opportunity to go to a different country to increase their international exposure. Some of them choose to do it back in their home countries just because it fits their plan for the future, and they just want to immediately start building their networks. And it's an opportunity for the students to move into a different sector, move into a different industry, into a different geographical area.
One of the key components of the RSM MBA program is what they call Personal Leadership Development, or PLD. Students spend one day a week throughout the 15 months developing business soft skills like interpersonal communication and team building. Dave Bond is the faculty member heading the PLD program.
Personal leadership development differs from other courses in that it focuses particularly on the individual development needs of each student. So we use a workshop approach, an action learning approach to focus on what we believe are three key elements that every MBA graduate will need. The first one is the capacity to lead and influence high-impact teams, which comprise national diversity, in fact, all kinds of diversity. The second component is that we believe our graduates need to be able to have a clear idea of what their objectives are career-wise, at least short-term, what it is they offer in terms of those objectives, and how to get the jobs that they need and make the right impression in order to have successful positions as managers and ultimately leaders. The third element, which we think is crucial, is that we would like our graduates to be seen by their future employees, by people who know them, as the people they would choose to make the pitch, to make the crucial pitch for business in any situation, to make the crucial pitch for projects, etc. So the third key component of our personal leadership development course is called Making the Winning Pitch.
The Living Management Project that students are working on today is a feature of the Personal Leadership Development Program. Bond says this project is their reality test.
In this process, each team has to address a major problem that's been identified by a living company. They're given the essential elements of that company, a bit of background, and they're faced with a problem along the lines of a strategic issue which draws together all the functional areas they've explored in finance, marketing, human resources, etc. They need to analyze the problem, they need to come up with solutions, and they need to deliver a range of suggestions to the company. Not only what should be suggested, but why, and very crucially, how. Because here at RSM, we believe that there are three essential elements in terms of that. Critical thinking, decision making, but also implementation. Because without implementation, it's not much good.
RSM accepts between 110 and 120 full-time participants each year. Kurt Wood is admissions and marketing director. He says their admissions decisions are based on several different factors.
Mainly, we're going to focus on professional experience and definitely motivation, career objectives that are coherent to our corporate profile. We're well known for our work in finance, for strategy, especially in the area of innovation. So we are looking for people who clearly wish to succeed in those areas. We put a very heavy emphasis in our program on team skills and the ability to work effectively with others on an international level. So we are looking for people with at least an openness to be able to work with people internationally. Aside from that, we're an English-speaking MBA, so we're looking for high levels of fluency in English. It's very important, you know, as well as strong GMAT scores. And we spend a lot of time looking at the essay questions, because although we'd like to be able to interview everyone, and we interview, I think, a very, very high percentage, but the essay questions are very, very important to us. We take the time to read them and try to get a feel for people. And so that's very important as well. And that will factor into an admissions decision very heavily.
Who gets admitted into the program? They have to have experience, but do they have to have international experience?
They don't necessarily have to have international experience already. Okay, they do need to have an openness. That's why I was careful to try to phrase it that way. Having international experience does definitely give you value on the job market, clearly. But I know that many people are undertaking an internationally oriented MBA so that they can break into an international market. And we're aware of that. And so if they do not have international experience in the interview process, we will definitely be focusing on that area and trying to be sure that they understand what they're getting into and that this really corresponds to their career objectives.
You don't interview everybody for admissions, but when you do actually interview, what things are you looking for? What makes a successful interview?
Okay, this is the really fun part of what we do. We want to know what makes you tick. First of all, I think the key thing is, you know, why an MBA? Why the Netherlands? Why RSM? How are they going to benefit from what we have to offer? Undertaking an MBA is a kind of marriage, and we have to work it out together. So in the interview, we're attempting to see if the marriage is going to be a good one, you know, that we're going to be able to meet expectations. So we're going to ask a lot about the expectations of the individual coming into the program. I like to ask sometimes sort of outrageous questions that will help inspire them to think out of the box a little bit, to kind of see, are they creative, quick on their feet? And I think there's always a part of the interview where we just get very quiet and we say, you know, is there something we missed? Is there something about you that we should know? And I find that almost everybody has something to say at that point. We're also looking for people who are going to go out and be great leaders, people who are going to have impact, social consciousness as well. And so we'll ask some questions in those areas as well. You know, do you think of anyone other than yourself every day? And what are the consequences of undertaking an MBA in a world that could potentially be extremely pretentious? We want to see that they understand the soft side as well and the human side. We're looking for people who are culturally aware. Reading a newspaper every day is probably very helpful. I'll often ask people, what was the last book you read?
You said that the admissions committee reads all of the essays.
Yeah.
So what makes a successful essay?
I think that the essay should speak to RSM. It should speak to what we're about as a program. I think the trap is a lot of MBA applicants fall into the trend of writing what they think they want us to hear. And that could very easily be solved by making a phone call or sending an email to the program and saying, you know, look, I'm considering writing an essay on such and such a subject. You know, how do you feel about it? And, you know, would this be appropriate? We take a counseling-based approach to admissions. And so we want an essay to be concise, but at the same time give us a feel and a flavor for who we're dealing with. I mean, the number of essays I've read, you know, Bill Gates is my hero. I just find it hard to believe that in this world of amazing people at all levels, that an individual would not have a hero who was far more personal or far more tailored to their own vision of leadership.
Back in Rob's small breakout room, the team looks as though they're under quite a bit of stress. The table is littered with empty plastic bottles, coffee cups, and cans of Red Bull, a popular energy drink.
I think it's very important to give an hour for that, to discuss what we want to show or what
an
we want
to... An hour? To prepare?
4:45.
No,
if you think of it in terms of
a great concept, I mean, it's 10% of 5 courses. That's half of a course rests on the grade that we get from this.
As an incentive to get out for lunch and spend some time talking with me, David Francis drops in and gives each of us a 10-euro meal ticket.
You don't get any change, so you need to spend the 10 euros.
What is this value?
The best tip is just stock yourself with Red Bull.
So if you eat more than 10 euro, you pay the surcharge or something?
How often do you charge more than 10 euros at Carousel?
You saw how much I eat anyways.
So right. Where are we going?
We are going to go to that building over there.
For lunch. It's called Carousel, and it's got a salad bar and hot food and things, so we tend to go there as opposed to in this building, which has sandwiches.
So what do we see here?
What do we see? Well, we've got some bagels over here with the, you toast it yourself. We've got lots of different drinks, yogurts, wide selection of breads, pastries. We've got sandwiches. We've got a lot of cheeses and meats and kind of make-it-yourself things, salads and eggs and such. Hot meals are here on the left. There's usually a pretty good selection of hot meals.
What are you going to have today?
I'm going to have to take a look. I think I'm going to be a hot meal kind of guy today. So, could I have the pork?
After piling up our trays with 10 euros worth of food and snacks, we grab a seat in the student dining area.
I never heard you speaking Chinese, Rob.
And you didn't really don't want it.
I didn't want to put that on the record.
Come on, Rob.
At RSM, the student body in a given year can have some 40 to 50 different nationalities. As a way to celebrate the diversity, students organize cultural parties.
So we have a Greek party, an American party, an Indian party, a Chinese party, a Turkish party. What else did we
Portuguese
have?
Portuguese party.
Portuguese party. We are aware of our different cultures, and we work together, but yet we celebrate them apart. I mean, the comrade party was just a pure hardcore drinking party in a way. I mean, there was nothing, no focus on food. Whereas the Chinese party, you had like performances of the Chinese, people could dress up. And you had the Indian party with the henna going, and then you had like a Turkish party, which was more focused on music and dancing.
And food.
Yeah,
there was food.
I missed that one.
Which one was the drinking party? The American?
Yeah, the food wasn't really there. That wasn't.
You had vegetarian hot dogs, huh?
There were hot dogs. There was popcorn.
Which day?
There was Jell-O.
Which day?
Jell-O.
With vodka in it. To fortify your
you had this
liver.
Beer thingy going.
The beer bombs.
The beer bombs.
I did not organize that. I was a mere helping participant. All right, shall we get back to the room?
Yeah, sure.
The group has to prepare for a meeting at 4, so we'll meet up with Rob again after that.
The students we would like to recruit are students that have a desire and are aware of working in complex environments.
That's Dean of MBA Programs, Mike Page.
And by that I mean international maybe, I mean diverse environments. So we look for students that obviously are ambitious, but that also in their ambition are looking for difference. And I would say the other element we look for in our students is students who understand the increasingly important role and major role that business plays in broader society. So this idea of business and its role in the societies that it serves is a very key element of our program. How does this manifest in our students? Well, I think the fact that our students over the last 5 or 6 years have done more and more work during their stay here as classes, as a supplement to their program to raise money for less fortunate, whether that's for women and children in trying circumstances in Nepal, whether it's for people suffering from HIV/AIDS in Africa, in the Netherlands, the Cancer Association. So, and recently the classes have raised a considerable sum of money to build schools in remote parts of Ecuador. So I think this reflects the character of our students. They want their high achievers, but they're concerned about broader society.
Can you tell me what distinguishes Erasmus from other programs?
I think what distinguishes our program is historically, we have always been at the forefront of international programming. Our programs are international in a number of respects. Firstly, the Netherlands as a country has survived over hundreds of years because of its capacity for international trade and engaging with the rest of the world. And that culture infuses our programs. Secondly, we recruit students from all over the world. 96% of our full-time student body are non-Dutch, so they come from elsewhere. And thirdly, we also recruit our faculty to teach on the program from all over the world. So everything we do tries to bring diversity and international dimension into the program itself.
Now, the curriculum and the program, can you talk about its strengths?
The program, I think, has a number of characteristics. I think, firstly, in common with leading business schools around the world, we, of course, have to cater to the fact that our students come from various professional backgrounds, and therefore we have to do the necessary foundation material so they understand business in its myriad of facets. We then, as far as the character of the program is concerned, we work a lot on integration elements, getting the students and the executives on our programs to understand that being effective as a leader and a manager is about how you integrate content with process, how you're able to understand the various elements of business, finance, marketing, operations, etc., but more importantly, how you're able to take those elements to make effective decisions that are grounded in some rigorous platform, having made decisions that you have the capacity to implement those decisions with and through others. So if you had to ask me for the dominant element of our program, I would say it is about implementation of intelligent decisions. Rather than saying we're a school where our strength is in finance. Our research faculty, our strong areas, I would say, in research are in finance, in strategy, and of course, given that we're located in the Netherlands and in Rotterdam in particular, in supply chain logistics issues. So all of these are strong elements of our program, but our program, I think, has to be more than that. It has to be about successful implementation.
What makes living or coming to the Netherlands different than going to another international program?
I think for me, and I speak as a foreigner here, as a South African, I think what strikes me about the Netherlands is, firstly, it's a very outward-looking country. It is a small country with 16 million people. Most people more or less correctly realize that most of the country is under sea level. So it's a somewhat different country, but this outward-looking character of the Dutch, which has centuries of history, means that I've experienced them, and I think our students do, as a very open society and very tolerant of people who come in. The other thing that I find fascinating about the country is a lot of international business students that travel around the world who are non-native English speakers very often are looking to go to an English language program because they want to learn or enhance their English ability as part of their program. What's great about the Netherlands is this is a country that in many respects is second language English. So if you come and you're not a native English speaker, you're not disadvantaged relative to the local population in the sense that they're also not native English speakers. But what makes it a wonderful place to learn English is that if you go to the supermarket, if you get on a tram, if you get on a train, there's no one that you're going to come across that will not be able to speak to you in English.
The full-time MBA program is now 36,000 euros.
That's financial aid director Hetty Brand Boswick.
And that's just tuition fee. That is not including books, but it does include course materials that are presented throughout the course. So case packages, articles, readers, etc. That's inclusive. The only thing it doesn't include are the actual textbooks that are required by the lecturers.
Okay, and how much do the books and other fees come out to?
I think probably the book packages, you're looking for five courses, books that are on average between 50 and 75 euros a book. Some are more expensive, some are cheaper. So you're looking at maybe 500 euros per term on books. That's a very high estimate, I must admit. It could turn out to be lower than that.
What types of financial aid do you offer here? And say if you're a foreign student, then where should that person get financing from?
There are a lot of different opportunities. We hope to have as comprehensive an overview on our website as possible under Financing Your MBA. There are different sections there. One of them is RSM scholarships. All our scholarships are merit-based on an academic level, so none of them are need-based. So for all of our scholarships that we give out, a written essay is required, but depending on the level of the scholarship will also depend on the level of the essay. For instance, we have our corporate scholarship program. The corporate scholarship program currently has approximately, I think it's right now, 8 confirmed companies taking part, and we're looking to add another 2 to that this year. That is a 10,000 euro tuition fee waiver. It also includes career coaching from either a line manager or an HR manager at the company, and it also includes an internship and the opportunity to negotiate a full-time job afterwards. So it's not only financial, it's also professional guidance on career, etc. Again, that's on essay, and the essay that is required is the applicant is required to determine in their essay what the added value is for them for going to that company. You can only apply for one company within the scholarship program. So as far as RSM scholarships are concerned, there are quite a few possibilities available. Next to that, we also have an agreement with the ING Bank that we help students apply for an ING loan. There are a number of loans available. It's not every student that comes to RSM, but there are some requirements to be able to apply for that. For instance, the level of your current annual salary in euros, a certain amount of savings are required. No collateral is required, no cosigner, but obviously these two issues, the salary and the savings, are part of a sort of collateral. Another thing I forgot to mention is also in the US, we are a recognized school also for the federal loans in the US. So I would say the majority of our American students, and some of those are then also foreign students, but because they have American citizenship or they are legal residents in the US, they're also able to get the federal loans.
Should I say this is based on market research, or should I say...
Yes.
And we present the market research now. I should give numbers.
Yeah, so let's not get hung up on that.
At 6:30 in the evening, Rob and his team are still working.
My group has been meeting all day, and we will be here for several more hours.
Like today, the rest of the week will consist of long hours and hard work. But as Rob says, it's all been a valuable experience.
It's a great combination of intellectual challenge, but quite a lot of bonding and fun and, you know, networking. I mean, after we leave here, this is going to be, you know, I have 109 peers that are going to be placed in great positions in multiple industries. So those connections and the bonds that you form with those students, you know, might be the biggest value over time for, you know, my RSM experience. Classes are challenging and there are ups and downs with that. And, you know, people will certainly go through periods of stress and turmoil. But, you know, at the end, every term is over and everyone seems to manage to pass most of their exams. So yeah, it's been a great experience.
Once the students complete the living management project, they do have a weekend to look forward to.
In the weekends, you'll see kind of close clumps of friends might go to a favorite bar or a club, or it's a small country, so another city might have some special event and people might, you know, just want to go to get out of town.
I mean, generally, Rotterdam, I think, that's a funny thing, because in Amsterdam, there's, of course, supposedly the best nightlife.
But many people from Amsterdam actually go to Rotterdam nowadays to go partying to the big clubs in Rotterdam, which is like the Out and Now and the Out and Wow.
Now and Wow.
And you have the Baja Beach Club. It's really hot, actually. There, it's more of a Latin beach club. It's kind of...
Well, crazy. Rob and his team have a lot to get done tonight, so we'll leave them here and let them get back to work. In Rotterdam, the Netherlands, I'm Janet Nakano for MBA Podcaster.
Coffee shops, there.